Welcome to Awesome Autism Tools. I'm Sheridan Ripley. I've been an energy worker and life coach for over 15 years, and this is a beautiful space for parents of children on the autism spectrum, especially non-speakers who want transformational tools, deeper connection, and gentle support. I'm so glad that you're here today. I am so excited to have Tani here today on my podcast, and I'd love it, Tani, if you take a minute and introduce yourself and Josiah.
Yes, thanks for having me on. I'm so delighted to be with you today. My name is Tani Cullen. I authored the book called Josiah's Fire, Autism Stole His Words, God Gave Him a Voice. That came out with co-author Cheryl Ricker about 9 years ago. And so we've been in this for a while. My son Josiah is autistic. He does not speak with his mouth, but he became a speller. When he was about around seven, he became open as a speller. So we've been in this for a while, and I have learned so much through that. And these days, I'm mostly caregiver, homeschooling mama. I really put a lot of effort into being there for my son and helping him do all the things that he needs to do. And that has many hats to it. I also do some speaking at churches or events here and there. But my primary thing these days is just simply being there for my son and also other families that are in similar situations to us. We kind of have a little bit of a camaraderie going on and a community together that helps us through, because as we know, there are some unique both challenges and blessings and surprises and all sorts of things that we're navigating through. So that's me. And I'm married to my husband, Joe, now for 27 years. He's part of this whole deal too.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Thank you. I first heard you on the telepathy tapes. And then secondarily, I heard you on my friend Nicole's podcast. And that kind of changed my life because I had listened to the telepathy tapes and I knew there was truth in it, but I didn't love the word telepathy for me, like it didn't really resonate. And I had some experiences that I was like, maybe I have telepathy. And I like tried it with my friend and I definitely do not have telepathy. But then I heard you on Nicole's podcast and you said that Josiah actually feels like it's more spirit to spirit communication. And I was like, oh, that resonates with me so much more than telepathy. And maybe it's just word usage. I don't know. But to me, I was like, oh, that feels really right. And so first off, I'd just like to say thank you to Josiah for sharing that, because that helped me recognize that I can do spirit to spirit communication. And it's, to me, different than telepathy. But another thing is also, I reached out to people for help with my grounding and shielding picture book. And you said you were willing to give me feedback and you gave me the best help because no one was open to helping me with the images, but you're like, oh, try using AI. And you sent me two different YouTube videos. And that is actually what helped propel me forward to get that picture book made. So thank you for those two things.
I'm so glad that helped you. You use Canva, right?
Yeah, I did. And it worked great. It's not like the most beautiful picture book in the world, but it's a free giveaway on my website to help people with grounding and shielding.
Loved it.
So I guess I'd like to start with, what are your thoughts? And because I know you've read my picture book. Thank you. I don't know. Is that something that you guys incorporate into your life? Not necessarily just the way I teach it, but grounding and shielding. Has Josiah found that helpful? Have you found that helpful?
Yes, what we have found is absolutely true, that those that are in that subset of autism, like my son has, definitely are very empathetic, really pick up on the energy of a place or of people. There's definitely that thing where, you know, wherever he goes, he can sometimes see things, he can hear things, he can understand things that I can't see. And so having to, as his mom, help him not only get some authority over that and bring some protection around him for that has been definitely essential. And what, as I read your book, I was like, yeah, I can see it may not be like the exact thing, but I can see how some of what we've done over the years and continue to do to this day are really in step with that. One of the things was Josiah had a little over a year ago, it was like everything in him, his whole nervous system was just boing. He had like his wisdom teeth out. He had come off of just several rounds of sickness, and then he got COVID, and all of these things just make everything go crazy with their immune system and their brain and OCD and tics, and all of this stuff was happening. And I was like, I have got to get this child settled down. I didn't know what can I do. I had to just take everything back to the bricks. And we really started literally grounding, walking in the fields with no shoes on, no socks on, and just walking. And I would make sure that as we were walking around, it was like if I had music on, it was just instrumental music. I allowed him time to listen to the trees, to listen to nature, and just, oh, come down from all the noise. And I actually found that I benefited so much from that too, because I think that we are around so much noise and so much input ourselves that we don't even realize how keyed up we are as parents. And that was very helpful. And then the thing too that I have prayed over Josiah for years and continue to, especially as he goes, when he's out of my care and I drop him off somewhere and he's around all sorts of different things, what we will pray is the armor of God. It reminds me a lot of what you had talked about with the color shield. And it basically is very quick. It's like we put on the helmet of salvation to protect your thoughts and to remember whose you are. Put on the breastplate of righteousness to protect your emotions and to protect your heart. And I put on the belt of truth that you will know the truth and the truth will bring you freedom. And you will be able to discern the voice of the Father, the voice of a stranger you won't listen to. We put on the shoes of peace. That is the good news of peace that wherever your foot goes into, you will bring peace, and that is shalom. And shalom means that which breaks the authority of chaos. So you bring a different shift that will break the authority of chaos. Take up the sword of the Spirit, that is the word of God that helps you divide and know the truth, the spirit from the soul. Take up the shield of faith, that any burning arrows of the enemy will be extinguished upon contact with the shield of faith. And God is your rear guard. He has your back. And then we put on the all-purpose garment of love underneath that, love and light. And so that's what we do every single day and have been doing that for years. And to me, that is parallel to what you talked about. And what was interesting too, and I don't even know if it was from you or if I just happened to hear it after I heard something about you with the color shield, was I heard somebody say, Joseph in the Bible, the coat of many colors, was basically symbology for white light because all the colors together equal white light, and we are the light of the world. And so I thought that was really interesting. The favor that was put on Joseph with his coat of many colors could have been a comprising all these colors bringing light. So, anyway, that was a long answer, but.
No, I love it. I love it. And I think that is something I encourage every one of my parents and their children to do every day is to ground and shield, however works for them, because I have seen it radically change their lives. And so I love that you have your own way of doing that and that you've seen the power in that. It's so important to protect us as parents and our kids too, because if we are not protected, if we're not grounded and shielded in whatever way we choose to do it, then yeah, we have a chaotic energy and then our kids feel it. And so it really is taking care of both of us.
Yes. And I love what you talked about with each of those layers. I think that energetically, I've learned a lot more about energy over the years. And after Josiah had a really difficult experience with several rounds of ear infections, and then we end up in the ICU, yada, 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 and we're in the ICU. And this was about a year and a half ago, and it was just unreal. I'm sitting there with my son, who's hooked up to a ventilator, and I'm like, how did we get here? And what was interesting is after that, I was like, I have got to do something to address if there's going to be trauma from this experience. What do I do? And I had heard about what was called the emotion code and the body code, and had found a practitioner that worked with that. And it really is a lot of working with removing emotional energies that can get stuck and trapped emotions, that sort of thing. And that has been so beneficial for Josiah and myself. And so I think like it's just so important to understand that energy and the things that are in the invisible are a thing. And when it comes to the podcast telepathy tapes, same with me. I was like, telepathy. Oh no. When I heard it was going to be called that, I was like, that's not what I would want to be associated with. I think what's important though is the telepathy tapes has really put a spotlight on what is called materialism. And then what is the foundation of consciousness and things like that. And really looking at what exists in energy, vibration, you know, all of these things that are in the unseen, but also are very much who we are. So what is going on in the human soul versus what has had so much the eye of a lot of doctors, educators, etc., which is all about the brain. And I think what it's really unleashed is, hey, the mind exists outside of your skull, and we are souls. We are souls that are comprised of spirit that are put into a body. And we are connected on a spiritual level. And I think that has opened a lot of people's eyes. So for that, I definitely thank them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's definitely opened so many people's eyes to different possibilities. And it's almost if you don't know that possibility exists, you can't access it, or you can't even begin to understand it if you don't even know it exists.
You can shut it off. You can just not engage.
Yes, totally. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. I really enjoyed the book, Josiah's Fire. And I kept reading passages to my husband. I'm like, yeah, he was like 8 when he said this. And it like blows your mind when you think about that. How old is Josiah now?
So he'll be turning 20 in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
And that's what's been so nice about, I look back and I think, I still can't even believe that like I published this thing and like all of this stuff has happened. But I've looked back and I've seen even these memories that come up on Facebook and it comes back around again all these years later. And I'm like, oh my goodness, there was a reason that this was published in a book, that this story got out there years ago, that Josiah has had a Facebook page for all of these years. There's layers and layers to this, because back when we put the book out, I didn't know anybody else that was having these experiences. And I couldn't figure out what was going on. I didn't know what the heck, how to even get my head around it, but it was happening. It was happening to me. He had such a command of the language. He had poetry. He knew things that he had never been taught. He had such a connection to God. He had what I would say in the Bible would be referred to as like words of knowledge, words of wisdom, prophetic words, giftings that were different than just the regular bunch. And so as his mom, I had to like really press into that. What is going on here? And then when the book came out and I started getting people contacting me saying, "Your story is our story," I was like, "What?" Because we weren't part of a community of spellers or anything back then. We literally went, learned how to do it, and then I was like on my own with my son. And we over time started meeting these people from different places and crossing paths, and then started finding out that there is so much going on that's very similar. And just we as parents trying to figure it out, but there's so much gratification in being able to be like, now as they have the telepathy tapes out, it's okay, I'm not a crazy person. And two, that I also have been a resource for people over the years that they're like, okay, you opened the box of crazy so I can talk to you about it. Yeah, calm down. So I just feel like I've now that we're this far into it, and now that Josiah is becoming a man and navigating through all this and knowing much more now than I did then, there's a lot of gratification to that, even to the point where I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, "You need to listen to the audiobook." I've never listened to the audiobook that I spoke. And Josiah has never heard the whole book. A little over a month ago, he and I listened to the whole book together. And that was very meta, like hearing yourself talk about yourself and your journey, and then Josiah hearing about himself. But it was so wild because in listening to that, I was like, there's so much in there that ended up coming to pass in a different way or playing out in a way that I wouldn't have thought. But then I look back and go, oh my goodness, that is this. In fact, to the point that I don't know if you saw this when you got to the very last chapter of our book, but I'm like, this last chapter is the telepathy tapes. It
Yeah,
starts talking about things in the telepathy tapes, what the subject of the telepathy tapes.
I just read that last chapter today. I like had three chapters left, so I was like cramming to read it. Yeah, that's so crazy and amazing and beautiful. And I loved what you said, two things that jumped out at me. Like you, things were happening, like you can't deny it. Like that you're like, oh, this is true. You can't deny the experiences that he was sharing, like about his ancestors that he saw. And it's just so beautiful to see those experiences and to have those experiences. And that because you had those experiences and shared his story via the book and the Facebook page, you became a safe place where other people could come to you and be like, I'm having similar experiences. And you could then walk together with them through that. So not only is Josiah like preaching God's word or the beautiful gospel of love, right? But you also are supporting people in that way and in lots of different ways, but specifically thinking of this population of the parents of these kids, you are there to support them. And so I just think it's beautiful how together you're like really doing something powerful and beautiful.
Yeah, that has been a really beautiful thing for me too, because again, we were a little bit out of it on an island with all this. And then to have people contact us. And I remember the first time that I was contacted by a lady, and they have a church for people with various needs that like the church is for them and other people can attend, versus the opposite. And she contacted me and she was like, "Your story is our story." And her son was about, I think, 7 or maybe 10 years older than my son at that time. And she said, "We have a camp for this population, and there's people from like age 6 to age 36. And my son is very much like your son. and also spells in this way to communicate. And will you come to our camp? And to come as a family to the camp, this was in Illinois at the time, and to have the first opportunity to see older kids that all spell like this, and to come around Josiah, and to have, he's able to have this social where they're talking with him and they're talking with each other. My eyes were so opened and they were so encouraging to one another. And I was amazed that even this one young boy who was this woman's son, one time Josiah was just over on the swings, and he comes up to him with his communication partner. Some of these words are newer now, but anyway, the person that, held up the board for him. And he just comes over to Josiah while he's on the swings, and he starts writing out like this blessing over Josiah for his life. And I was so moved. But I think what's interesting is I've gotten the chance now to be around or know of or see a bunch of people in this kind of subset of autism together. And you start realizing like there's so much that's similar about them. And I think what's difficult is in a lot of schools and out there in the population that they're just maybe seeing one here and one there and one here and one there, that the whole population is so misunderstood. And so there's a lot of decoding that's been able to go on as to who they are and what's going on with them. And so much of it is, there's a lot in there, obviously, that they're so intelligent and they have giftings that are amazing in so many different ways, but also that they have a spiritual connection that you can't deny.
And as you said, they can see things we can't see, and they can hear things we can't hear. Like it is fascinating to learn from them. It's very powerful. So, yeah. All right. I did have at least two other things I want to talk about with you. One is, okay, I went to your Facebook page. It's funny because I read the book, but I had never been on Josiah's Fire Facebook page. So today I'm like, oh, I have to go check that out. And then I heard his songs like on the Suno link. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Because he talks about that in the book too when he was little, that he wanted to be a
Worship
worship
leader,
leader. Yeah.
yeah.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, look at what AI with Suno has allowed him to do is take his words and make them into beautiful praise worship songs. So tell me a little bit about that.
That has been such an incredible thing that's really just happened within the last year, not even year. And we found somebody who's a neurologic music therapist, and she also does the spelling. And even the way that we found her was like so serendipitous, and it was an instant connection. And so I have great love for people like yourself and those that are practitioners in any way that are connecting with this population with so much just love and respect and understanding of how their body works and who they are. And so this neurologic music therapist, Josiah, was expressing to her that he just really wanted to be able to bring some of his songs to life. And I'm no musician, and he can't physically play a guitar or anything like that. I knew that he was very musical, but we've never been able to get him to actually like play an instrument. And so she is like racking her brain trying to figure out, I can't get a band in here. He likes to write these lyrics. How are we going to do this? And she had also worked with him just to help him understand too a little bit better about like how to structure a song so it like flows and you got to repeat more and stuff like that. So he had picked up on that and caught that really quickly. And so they had worked together, and she had found this Suno AI app that basically you can put in your own lyrics and then you can say, oh, I want this style of song. I want it sung by a male. It needs to be high beat or piano or whatever. You can say what kind of style you want it to be. And then it very quickly produces these songs that then you can choose, okay, this is what I like. He wrote his first song with her, and then he continued to write these songs, and we at home would do it. He absolutely loved it because he was able to produce these songs in a way and be able to choose, nope, I need one that's more piano. Oh, I need one. I do like that one. And it just empowered him so much. But what has been amazing is like these songs, when they're sung, do have so much more power to them than if you just read the lyrics. And then for the very first time in his life, he's able to get this auto feedback. You think about that, how many things that he's written that he, maybe I'll go back sometimes and reread it to him or something like that, but you release it and you never hear it again. And for him to even be driving in the car with us and I'll put his songs on, that is such a beautiful feedback loop for him. And they have really touched a lot of people and they're so powerful. And so, as his mom, to hear those songs from his heart be sung, and then I was invited to a church that I had spoken at 10 years before about our story. I was invited to this church on Mother's Day to share about Josiah and these songs and just give this update about him. They've looked at our journey along the way. And this was this time when I'm up there talking about this, Josiah and my husband, for the very first time, are able to be in an actual adult service, and he's able to sit there and be calm and be able to be in the service. And the pastor plays a couple of Josiah's songs, the videos with it, and people are listening and tearing up. And I was remembering my mother who passed away in 2020. Before she passed away, she said, Tani, one day you will hear your son and he will be singing from a stage. And I just want you to know on that day that I will be cheering you on from the wings. I will be cheering him on from the wings. Now, I don't know if that's like the fullness of that, but that was a taste of it because that day that happened, that literally Josiah was leading worship and his songs were being heard. And that was very powerful indeed.
Yeah, that's so amazing. And music is definitely so powerful. The kids that I work with, so many of them mention in these spirit-to-spirit sessions I do, mention the power of songs, right? And the power of music. And not all music or songs are equal in their uplifting spirit, right? So to be able to, yeah, hear that for you and for Josiah to hear it is really so powerful and beautiful.
His very first sentence, his very first open sentence was, God is a good gift giver. And I will always say that sentence became what was almost like the thesis statement for our lives. Through all the difficult times, and we have had many, I will always go back and point to that first sentence that he wrote out, that God has proved himself that he is a good gift giver.
Yeah.
And in so many different ways, in so many unexpected ways. And that's where it's in a world where so many people are hurting and broken and confused and rightfully put up so many walls to God or the spirit or religion or anything like that. Because there's just been so much hurt and so much ammunition and wounding, and to experience like a purity and a love that is so beyond dogma, that is so beyond like the constructs of ego. My son has just given me like this window, this little picture into what the perfect love of God actually looks like and feels like. And I am indebted to him for that.
Yeah. And I love that you share that with people through the book and on the Facebook page, because then we can feel that too. We can learn of that too. So that's awesome. All right. The other thing I wanted to touch on was angels, because I love angels. And so in this, I'll just like on the chapter where you talk about angels, or Josiah is talking about angels, both of you. I really loved how he talked about, and I haven't thought about this before. This is maybe a new idea for me, is that angels are one thing and ancestors are another thing. Because in my mind, usually when I ask God to send the best available angel, he'll often send an ancestor. Like if I feel like I'm not the best cook. So when I'm like struggling in the kitchen, I'm like, all right, send my nana. Was a great cook, right? So I'm like, oh, I could use Nana's help. And I just feel her there helping me and encouraging me. So the idea that ancestors, what it sounds like from Josiah, at least in this book, is like the ancestors can help, but also the ancestors can like ask angels to help. Am I explaining that right? Tell me a little bit more. What are your thoughts and Josiah's thoughts about angels?
Angels are created beings that aren't humans. So humans aren't angels and angels aren't humans. Okay. But so angels are God's messengers and they are released at God's bidding. The way that Josiah explained, because for your audience, it's almost as if Josiah was being like, or this continues to happen to this day, but taken up into heavenly places and learn things and be able to see things and know things in his dreams, sometimes open vision. I try to unpack that in the book because I'm like, how are you knowing this? He would know things from people that he had never met and were had passed before he had. And it's like he would see them in heaven. And he talked about them. He used the word sponsors. So almost like they're our loved ones that have passed before us up in heaven, that they're, it's not like they're just floating around on a cloud or whatever, but like that they're still active. They're still playing out their purposes. And there's actually a scripture that says all of heaven rejoices, or those in the company of angels rejoice. When one person like comes to Jesus, who's in the company of angels? It doesn't say angels rejoice. Who is in the company of angels? Our loved ones, the people who've passed, that sort of thing. There's also, it talks in the Bible about the great cloud of witnesses. And that cloud of witnesses are the people that used to be human and they've passed on. And I really believe that all of heaven, including our loved ones that have passed on are still able to care about and look toward Earth at times, maybe not all the time, but look toward Earth at times because everything's not complete, right? Like the promises for their lineage, for their line are being played out still. It hasn't been complete. There's almost like this idea that they can see us at times. They can cross over into participating with us at times. I don't look at it as if it's like a ghostly thing or something like that, but it is that if it's that idea that like energy never dies, that signature of the person, what is spirit? What is the language of the spirit? And then there's also these realms. So there's different realms, and I think that there's often talk of the veil between heaven and earth. And I think that sometimes we who are discerning and can understand the feel and the language and what we see and sense of the spirit world, that the veil is really thin sometimes. I think that happens. Sometimes we'll see cardinals or we'll see butterflies or we'll see signs that are like, oh, I feel like I was just thinking about my mom and then I saw that. Or I was just thinking about, and you'll see these signs and things where almost all of nature is responding to what's going on there. And I think that's the, and to think about and to feel our loved ones. And I also had dreams of some loved ones that you can tell, like, there's a quality to what I would call like a visitation dream versus just, oh, okay, that person just ends up in my dream. It's like you feel like you've been with them. You feel like they've somehow healed the hurt by visiting you in a dream. And I think there's still such a mystery. What are dreams anyway? I think that God uses dreams, can use dreams to communicate with us when our brains are shut down and we're really open spiritually. So to be able to say, are our loved ones angels? They're spirits at this point, and we were spirit. We came to life into a body, and then we're a spirit again. So yeah, there's spiritual nature to them, but theologically, I guess angels are created beings that are different than humans. Does that make sense?
That does make a lot of sense. And so I see how they both can play roles in our life, right? Our ancestors helping us and angels helping us. They both can help us, but in different ways. That's really interesting, and I'm really going to ponder on that. Yeah, and see how I can apply that in my life.
And angels themselves they're meant to be helpers to people. They're meant to be
Yeah.
messengers. They're meant to be helpers, and they're sent to us.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, awesome. Okay, so I always like to end my podcast episode when I have a guest by just asking, what is your favorite awesome autism tool?
Okay, I would say my favorite autism tool would probably be utilizing like what I would call like the layering effect. Let me explain. My son loves to learn, and he's an auditory learner primarily. Really, it's just been in the past year that he likes to actually sit down and watch TV, but he didn't like to watch TV or it was too much. So we would go drive around the back roads, and we'd listen to lectures or podcasts or, excuse me, or TED Talks or whatever. And then we'd talk about those things. Sometimes we would pull over overlooking a body of water or something, a pond, and I'd get in the back seat with him, and then we'd discuss what we what. And this was too, like when Josiah's body was very impulsive, it'd be hard for him to sit for very long and spell. And so to even sit in the back seat strapped in was like, oh, he like could be okay that his body wasn't just going to be constantly getting up. And we were in this space of nature, and he could spell out what he thought or things like that. And so what we ended up doing was layering where we might listen to a podcast or a lecture about, let's say Swedish immigrants or whatever, because we're in that area. Then we would talk about it, but then we would go and we would drive to a historical place, get out, experience that, read all of the different signs and be amongst it and see it. So I feel like for him in learning, that it's so much more than just, oh, you have your 1 hour lesson spelling time a week or something. It's an ongoing thing. And there can be a beautiful thing between listening, having time to process, having time to talk about those things, going and actually experiencing that, feeling that, you could call it energy of a place. And really just absorbing all of that. So I would say that's a good autism tool that I use a lot often with my son.
Oh, I love that. That makes me think of one of my clients who lives in an area with a lot of history, and he likes his dad to drive him to this specific place in his town. His parents said, ask him why he likes this so much. And he said, because I can see the history, it's almost like he can see a video of historical events happening when he's there.
Yeah.
And so that makes me think of that layering. And actually, I said he probably would, because they also ask, what books does he want to read next? I find a history of your town and read that. It's
yes,
because it's already something he can see. It's already something he can experience. So that layering,
exactly.
just that makes a lot of sense.
And one year we did American history and its music. And so we would learn by decade, and then we'd listen to the popular songs during that decade. And so you're getting all sorts of input around a specific time. But then there is that connection back to ancestors too. I even found as his mother, and I'm listening, and as his teacher too, I really started connecting with, oh my goodness, during the 20s, my grandmother was a flapper. What was that like? What were the songs she was listening to? What was that like to go from a city to living out on the prairie with in the 30s during the Great Depression? All of these things, these are really beautiful things that I feel like my son has actually helped me to lean into more than I would have before, because there's almost that hint and a nod like, yeah, you do need to explore this more. And then you do feel closer to your loved ones. And I wonder what the conversation is on the other side about that.
Yeah, I know, right? They're probably super excited.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much. Is there anything you want to add before we finish?
Well, I just really appreciate the opportunity to be on your podcast. And again, I have so much love and respect for people like yourself that will go outside of the box of the normal way of looking at autism and really listen to the parents, listen to those that they're working with, and to be open. And to see where this is going, because I feel like they are trying to teach us something. And when we come in with casting off our know-it-all attitudes, or just from what we've been taught, and be able to be open, I think that there's just so much that we can be led into. And if that's done in a spirit of love and also insight and understanding, there's just so much that can come that is going to be helping so many other people. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing that with those that you work with directly. And then, you know, that you're spreading that.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. And thanks for what you do too. And thank Josiah for being willing to share his thoughts and you being willing to post them on Facebook for him.
Thank you. His Facebook page is Josiah's Fire, if anybody wants to look at that. And our book is on Amazon.
Okay, I'll definitely link to that. So thank you, Tani. This was such a joy.
For me too. Thank you.
Thanks for listening today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast so you can continue to learn all of the tools I love to share. If someone you care about came to mind while you were listening, please share this episode with them. Sometimes one small share can make a big difference. And don't forget to sign up for the newsletter for extra support, resources, and updates. You'll find everything linked in the show notes.